What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Run Happy Podcast. I'm Baxter Friedman.
And I'm Charlie Rook, and this is a podcast for people that want to improve themselves as runners as well as people and always run happy.
Let's get into it. All right, what's up, everyone? And now welcome to another episode of the Run Happy Podcast. Today, we're here with Brian Barraza. He runs for Roots Running and is going to be in Oregon in a couple days for the Olympic trials. So, you know, we're really excited to hear all about that and, you know, how running's been going with him. So, Brian, how are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah, it's good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on. The weather's been nice in Boulder, which is, you know, lovely as the summer starts heating up all over the country. It's nice to have like those beautiful days that remind you what running can really be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just got to Colorado. Obviously, Baxter's probably been here about, 2 weeks now almost?
Yeah, 2 weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got in 3 days ago. So, yeah, it's really nice weather here. We're enjoying our time here as well. So,
yeah, no humidity is wonderful. So, yeah, definitely not something I'm missing.
But, yeah, so definitely. Why don't we start with that? So, obviously, you're going to the Olympic trials for the steeple. So, so why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into steeple, but like, is that your primary event, the steeplechase? And, you know, how's your season kind of been going with that?
So I'm actually doing the double at the trials. I'm going to do the steeple and the 5K. And,
oh, wow.
I'm kind of at this interesting place in my career where it feels like, you know, I'm getting a little bit older. I just hit 29, which, you know, it isn't that old, but the steeplechase is one of those events that really takes a lot out of your body. There's 35 jumps per race. It's getting to the point where I'm kind of thinking like, okay, is this going to continue to be my primary event? And so this year is kind of like, the steeplechase is one of the events that I feel like I'm best at, but I don't think that necessarily needs to be the thing that I hold myself to. It's like, where am I going to find the most enjoyment and what event is going to love me back, you know? So I'm playing around with the 5K a little bit more, and being able to qualify for both for this Olympic trials is a pretty exciting prospect for the future.
Dude, heck yeah. So like, you know, tell us like, what are your goals for, you know, the trials and like just out there to have fun? Or, I mean, obviously the main goal is to qualify for the Olympics, but, you know, any like time goals or, you know, what are you looking forward to doing out there?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me is I really just want to be competitive. You know, that's something that I feel like has been somewhat missing from my career. Like I've for whatever reason held on to this like limiting belief that I'm like one of the guys that's not been able to put it together. You know, like I can run great time trial type races, and I think that like my whole career is kind of built on those type of efforts, but a lot of the time when it comes to putting it together on a day, it's like I have never really placed where I feel like I belong in a major championship. So for this race, I'm kind of thinking about the steeple in terms of like, well, first get to the final, and then in the final try to take as much pressure off of myself and just kind of get out of my own way, because I know that I've done an incredible amount of work to be able to get to this point. But it's like sometimes when you're holding on to that like desire for performance, it creates this paradox that puts too much pressure on yourself and stops you from being able to achieve what you're capable of. And then whenever the 5K rolls around, it's like, well, my primary focus was the steeplechase. And so being able to just like completely let go and be like, well, I have no idea what's going to happen in this 5K, and I'm just going to get after it and, you know, put a good effort out there. But it's like every race that I run, I try to embody my understanding of who I am and what the sport means to me, and all of the things that I've, all of the life that I've had to live in order to be able to pull down whatever result happens on a given day. So at the trials, I'm going to try and do the same thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a really good mentality. And I think, you know, obviously that sort of thing comes with, you know, figuring out just the more time and the more amount of times you race, just kind of figuring out what works for you. Is that what you're starting to find, that, you know, going into races with no expectation, with no real like standard time goals, but just for the sake of, you know, trying to be competitive in the field? Is that something that you think is, you know, starting to help you?
Yeah, I think that everything that we do in our training and the build up to every single race is to give ourselves better odds of rolling the dice and it coming up our numbers. But in reality, like every single time it's a roll of the dice, you know? And so I try to come into these races with this perspective of it's my self-worth is completely distanced from whatever happens on the track. And so it's like, I'm really trying to come at things from this perspective of like, this is a thing that I get to do, and this is supposed to be fun. But it's so easy to slip into this like high performance, like gotta be more, gotta be more, gotta be more mindset. And it's like that can very easily steal all of the joy of running. And so it's like, I think that as I get older, my perspective on what is important to me in my life in general shifts and moves and changes, and the way that I relate to the sport shifts and moves and changes in relation to those things. So it's my relationship to running is always pointing to the same thing, but the way that I come at it is different on any given attempt because who I am on any given attempt is a little bit different.
That's yeah, no, that's true. And like you were saying that you trying to figure this out with not running with just the mentality to like, oh, I have to be the best or whatever. Like that, I feel like figuring all that out comes with experience and like maybe not always the best experiences. So like how did you figure this out? Because I mean, I'm sure everyone's got a story about that.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, it's been an ongoing journey, right? Like one of the earliest moments where I felt betrayed by running, and mostly it was betrayed by the way that I was relating to running, was in high school. Like I had so much of my identity wrapped up in the sport, and it was like it was the only self-worth that I felt like I was, you know, like I went to a meet and everybody knew who I was because I was the fast guy, you know, and it's like you get really locked into that identity. And then I got a stress fracture my junior year, and it took me out for the entirety of my season. And it was like, okay, well now who am I? Like they're not saying my name on the announcements anymore, so like am I still that guy? Like what is this, you know? And so, you know, experiences like that over the course of my career have kind of helped shape me and recognize like who I am is much bigger than what I do. And even if it was solely tied to what I do more than just one thing. So it's like being able to create an identity outside of running that involved who I am as a creative and who I am as a friend and as someone who thinks deeply about introspective topics and things like this. Like, I've been able to kind of unhook from being so tied to running in that way. But then, you know, obviously, as my career continued to progress, like, I do still want to be good at this thing. Like, I do still value being able to perform at high levels. And I kind of, at this point in my career, view my work as a high performer as like, you know, I'm pushing the frontiers of what I am capable of. And as such, like I'm pushing the frontiers of what like humans are kind of capable of because I'm a human, you know? So it's like I'm figuring all of these small insights out and being able to like bring those back to people that aren't necessarily ever going to push themselves to that. And so it's like how I continue to relate to the sport has changed. And so that high performance piece also continues to shift. And so it's not as tethered to like, oh, I want to run X time. Like, sure, I still need that kind of stuff for being able to have benchmarks, but they're just benchmarks because in reality, any given race, the conditions could be different. And so what does a 4-minute mile mean when you're at altitude versus when it's a super humid day versus when it's an indoor track? Like all of it is contextual. And so seeing it within the context of my larger life has kind of helped put all of that in perspective.
Wow, that's really interesting. I like that a lot because obviously it's really just about like, trying to be the best you can be on any given day. And so I like that a lot. And it takes a lot to learn because, when you're in high school, we're sitting here, it's like, well, what time do you run? And it's like, you're not looking at the contextual situations and stuff like that. So I want to ask, so your relationship to running right now, is this in your opinion, is this one of the best relationships you've had with the sport, probably, as you've gotten older compared to your high school, college, or even early pro days?
Fantastic question. And it's a hard answer because I'm not sure. There, at any point in time, the hardest thing you're dealing with is the hardest thing you're dealing with. And it's hard to contextualize within like a personal narrative to say, like, right now, one of the cutting edges for me is trying to face down the doubt that, like, oh, well, if I am relating to the sport in this way where it's like I'm not tethered to times and I'm only concerned about like doing my best and if my best isn't good enough on a given day, then I'm like, oh, well, this is what I learned. Then, like, where is the competitive fire to like beat out somebody in that moment when it's like, no, you don't get to take this from me, right? Like, because we do still want to win. And we like, I've won one race in my professional career, you know? So it's like, okay, well, like, maybe that's telling me something, you know? And so it's like trying to fight that doubt. So it's hard to say that like this is the best relationship I've had with running, but it is one of the most sustainable relationships I've had with running. Like what it means to me right now is that I could go out and I could view a competition as an act of co-creation with the other people I'm racing with and not be beaten down if I don't win. And I can like completely unhook my self-worth from performance itself and just enjoy running for the act of moving my body through space. But in reality, it's like the context of the sport is we're trying to win, we're trying to make money, we're trying to be able to support ourselves and bring attention to the things that we care about and you know be able to like showcase our values. But at the end of the day, like it's racing, you know, and so it's hard to feel like I've, you know, got it all figured out because I don't. It's just like this is where I find myself now. And as I continue to understand the sport and my life in different ways, then my knowledge and understanding of how I relate to the sport will continue to change.
Man, that is a great answer, honestly. And I think that, like, there's so many things that we can take away from that because we, as runners, like, you know, we're what you're talking about, what we've, like, learned is, you know, not put yourself, or not to put your identity in running, because whenever you do that, you know, like, we just talked about, like, how that can just kill, like, your entire will to want to run. Because, like, if you have a bad race and you put your identity in it, then it just completely wrecks it. But you are now in a really good place with your pro running career. You're with Roots Running now, and like, how has that culture been? And like, you know, how's the team been with you? And like, you know, how's the training been going with it?
It's been great. Like whenever I moved out to Boulder, I was, you know, in this position where I was trying to bet on myself and like, you know, do what I thought was necessary to further my professional career. And, you know, since joining Roots within this past year, it's been like everything that I thought it should be. You know, like I am part of a culture now that's like it was very welcoming to me, and everybody is like they recognize the value that I bring to the team and they appreciate the knowledge base that I have, and everybody is so supportive of me and each other. And it's just like a it feels like I don't have to be constricted around any potential identity. Like I can just be who I am and like not worry about it, 'cause like everybody here, like I think it's all summed up very well with the Roots bio, which is we run hard and do our best to run fast. And that's like that is the culture of the team, and everybody has other things going on, which is what's amazing. Like people have worked to keep running in their lives and high performance in their lives, but it's not the center of their worlds. They're like, no, I have a job. Like I have to have a job. You know, for me, like I have a creative business, and I'm writing a second collection of poetry, and like I'm going back to school for a master's in strategic communication design. So it's like all of these things that we have identities outside of the sport. It's like that's what the team is, you know, and being able to support each other at our highest highs and our lowest lows, and just celebrate everything is a celebration because everybody is very in touch with what running is, and being able to point to the celebrations that come from that.
That was awesome. I really like that because team culture is so important. And obviously, you mentioned you're a poet and you know, going back to school, at least probably online for that master's. But I don't want to touch on that. But first of all, I want to ask. So obviously, last year you were with I believe you were with Tin Man, and I'm not entirely sure if you've been with them your whole career. But you know, I wanted to ask, how rare is it to find a professional culture like Roots? Because I feel like in running it's very competitive. I'm gonna get mine in certain professional teams. And so, you know, for you, how rare do you think something like Roots really is?
Great question. I mean, I've only had a handful of experiences personally in the professional running sphere, but like from my understanding, running tends to breed that kind of culture that is like community based. At least when you're looking at how large the community of runners is, you know, everybody that engages with this, it resonates with them on some level. Right. And so it's like there's obvious challenges and resource limits when you're looking at things like trying to be a professional team that's a little bit different, but I feel like Roots has got to be, I mean, to me, Roots feels one of a kind, and a lot of that is that it's just like a lot of the people that are closest to me and most important to me in my life are on this team. And so it's like, to me, that makes it truly invaluable. Like there isn't another Roots out there. And I think that like one of the things that I want to do and part of my mission in life and in the sport is to like inspire actualization through authenticity, right? And so part of that is I want to use my energy to pour into Roots and to help Roots grow to be more than what it is now, and I think everybody on the team shares that kind of energy of like recognizing the value of this thing and wanting to pour energy into it.
That is like you described that perfectly. Like that was a great saying. Like, hold on, can you say that phrase again? Like, use your wait. I can't. I
My
can't.
mission statement?
Yeah. Your mission statement. Yeah. Yeah.
To inspire actualization through authenticity.
Dude, that is. I really like that a lot. I think that's something that like Mississippi College, our track team. I feel like that's something that we definitely try to prioritize. And like just like Roots Running, we like to feel like Mississippi College is like one of a kind. And like we're like we've got 12 people in this house that we're in right now, like in Colorado, like just training up here in altitude. So we're trying to do stuff like that. But no, yeah, like I think that what you're doing and what Roots is doing is really special, and I think that's really cool. But I did want to hop over to the poetry thing and talk about that, because like I'm not gonna lie, we don't really like you don't hear about too many poets right now, and like the only one I can think of is Shel Silverstein. So you've got a book, it's or a collection called like it's A Shore and Adrift from Lighthouse to the Deep. Is that right? And so like, how did you get into poetry, and like, where can we find the book, and how did this all come to life?
So I think my poetic journey is an interesting thing because it's like I've always just kind of written and never really thought anything of it. Like I would write stuff for class and it's like just academic work. But I've always wanted to be an author. Like when I was a kid, I was probably like 9, and I asked my mom to hire me a temp because I couldn't type fast enough. And so I was like, I don't want to handwrite an entire book. So can you hire me someone to like so that I can just speak a book? And she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I was like, okay, that's fair. But like as I continued to get older, that like wanting to write a book never really left my bucket list. And so over the course of my college career, I would just like occasionally write stuff down in like my notes app on my phone. And it would just be like random bits that kind of like spoke to me or spoke to some aspect of the human experience. And I was like, oh, like I like that. And eventually my notes app got too full. And it was actually like, hey, you need to like port this out to Google Docs if you want to keep writing stuff in here. And I was like, I guess that means I have to do something with this now. And so I just, over the course of the next couple of months, started pulling all of that into like formatting it for a book, and then did a handful of illustrations, designed the cover, and I self-published. And it's, for me, it's like I recognize that I am just one perspective of reality. And I want to like be able to embody my mission statement of inspiring actualization through authenticity, like being able to share my inner thoughts and like not be afraid of judgment with it and just be vulnerable in that way is at the core of that mission. And so this like a poetic collection is a part of that. And so this first book was something that was like I was terrified for it, of course, because vulnerability is inherently scary because it's like it's hard to be seen. Like I could put on this mask here of like, yes, I am this guy who like goes out to these track meets and I run really fast and like that's all of me, right? And like that's my whole personality and here's the mask that I'm holding. But in reality, like that's one aspect of who I am and how I show up in the world. And in reality, like I do a lot of other things and I'm interested in a ton of other things. And dropping that mask means that other people can see all of those other things. And that opens you up to ridicule for people being like, you write poetry, dude? Like, but in reality, everybody that I've shared this with has been like, oh, dude, sick. That's so cool. Like, but it's the fear of that, like the nameless, faceless What are they gonna think? I've never met they. I've just met a bunch of people that are like, oh, that's neat. I've like, where could I get the book? You know, like that kind of stuff. So I've over the past couple of months been working on putting out a second collection. So that'll be available on August 1st. And this one is much more personal because my first collection was just kind of like snippets of, you know, things that I was thinking about or imagining for other people. But this one is more of like how I think about my life and how I think about performance and really in service of trying to live a good life and whatever that could potentially mean.
Well, dude, that is really cool. And I guess like, so are these books or collections, are they like more running prone, or are they like literally just like for everyone, like everyday life kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's everyday life. I think that a lot of it, like, I don't believe that there's a really strong boundary between life in running and life outside of running. Like, I've always referred to it as bleed through because this boundary is porous and like you can read whatever you want out of these words because I mean, they're just words. So it's like I'm bringing my context to them. And sometimes my context is influenced by my experience as a runner. And so I'll write things that can fit that context. But other people don't necessarily have that. Or if you do have that, you might read into it in a place where I didn't put it, but it fits with the way that you see the world.
That's really cool. Okay, I like that perspective. That's not something I was expecting, but that's even cooler than what I thought it was. So
Yeah, I mean, I really like, I feel like, I don't know if I actually noticed it, just in the way you speak, I can definitely hear the poet side of you.
I can definitely
Yeah,
hear it too. So yeah.
100%. And so
Yeah.
like what I like about it is that, yeah, like you talked about having you know, separate lives to running. So like, yeah, obviously, you know, that's how you see your real friends are the ones that like, because, you know, ignoring people that are like, what, he's a runner and he writes poetry, like that makes no sense. Like, but you know, your real friends and your team are gonna be, you know, the ones that like,
Encouraging.
yeah, that are gonna encourage you. And so the poetry, how has that helped you, if at all? I'm sure it has, but how has that helped you with you know, your performance and
Yeah.
you know, that sort of thing?
That's a super perceptive question. Good. That yes. It has. And
How
it
important.
what's really interesting about it is because like, you know, whenever you go to a workout, right, it's never just a physical experience. There's always a mental component to it. And sometimes you're working more on the mental component than you are on the physical component, right? Like you go out for a tempo and it's not only trying to get the physiological experience, but it's trying to hold focus for a long period of time and to experience the rough patches that come with that effort and be able to like, okay, I'm fine. And it's like an experience in emotional regulation, right? And so taking that dynamic and recognizing that it's not just there, right? So this mental component is something that you work on all the time. Whenever you're dealing with any sort of stressful situation that pops up, and this is where bleed through really happens, right? Like you learn something in running about like, oh, in the moment when I'm like, oh, this is terrible, I can't go any longer, I just wait a second, take a breath, and I'm okay, right? And then you experience some stressful experience in life and you're like, I can't do this, I'm overwhelmed. And then you're like, wait a second, take a breath, I'm all right, cool, right? Just get to the next good patch or whatever language that you want to wrap around this. But in reality, that flow is there. And so for me, what I've been doing as an artist and as a creative is trying to capture little bits of that flow and make sure that I understand them well enough to be able to put them into a bite-sized piece so that maybe someone else would resonate with it. So it's like, there's all sorts of abstract concepts and abstract experiences that we have all of the time, but we never really dive into them. We just hold them by the nebulous experience of pain, right? Or, you know, to put it in the context of running, it's like, oh, my legs hurt. What does that actually feel like? Right? Like, dive into that. Break that apart for me. Oh, well, I have this sharp spot that's right here. It's like, okay, that level of discernment and perception about what you're experiencing, that is a skill set. And you can use that skill set. And I use that skill set to try and aim that same, you know, microscope into other aspects of my life and be like, oh, okay, well, what is my experience of being here in this moment? Oh, okay. Well, let me try and pin that down. And then all of those nebulous things become, you know, more concrete. And that's what these collections of poetry have really done for me, has allowed me to precisely see what is the core of what I'm actually talking about and see how my energy could be best spent. Because it's like, would my energy be best spent like talking in circles around this specific thing? Probably not. Would it be best spent, getting right to the heart of the thing? Yeah, seems like it. So bringing that energy back into running and seeing, okay, well, where is my energy best spent here? Well, I need more support in this specific area, and being able to voice that to the support system that I have around me, and know it for myself.
Dude, that is insane. Like that's yeah, very very. I feel like you've definitely had to explain this to someone before, because like that was really well said. But also, there's another part about like this, like you producing a collection of poetry that I feel like could help with running or maybe just also in life. But like it's like the fear of failure is like such a big thing, and especially like like self-publishing a collection of poetry is like that is I'm sure that was terrifying. So like and but like thankfully everything is like looking up, everything's doing well, and you're gonna make a second collection. So like that fear of failure, how has that like helped you with running or in other aspects of life?
Yeah, I mean, there's levels to this game, right? Like, regardless of where you are, you're playing the game, and we're just calling it running, right? But it's like, you start the journey, and the level of the game that you play is, oh, I'm just gonna run really hard and see how that works out for me. And then maybe you have some guidance in your life, and you have a coach or something, someone that like shows you where to put that energy, and it's a little bit better. And then you start realizing, like, oh, okay, well, this is the next thing that I need to do to get to the next level of the game. Like, I need to be consistent. Instead of running twice a week, I'm going to run, four times a week or five times a week. And then maybe you go to a place where you're like, oh, I'm going to run seven times a week. I'm going to start doubling. And then you realize, wait, maybe that's a little bit too much for me. Right. And so then you have to learn the level of the game that you have to learn is, discernment of where your energy is best spent, how to rest and how to recover. And, there's all of these different levels that running kind of provides this framework and this natural pathway towards. And eventually you start getting to these big concepts like fear of failure. And for me right now, like, I definitely used the book as a space to play with that, because like I was terrified when I put it out. Like my first collection, I legitimately like I didn't talk about it the entire time that I was working on it, except with the people that were closest to me. And I was like, I made one post about it on Instagram to say like, hey, I did a thing. Okay. And then I was like, now nobody talked to me. Like, I'm so afraid that like I don't like I want everybody to heap praises upon me, obviously, because everybody wants that. They want that validation that their effort hasn't been in vain, and like that what they've done actually means something to people. And I got that. And it was like, oh, all of that fear of failure was just the fear. Like there was nothing substantial to it. The people that it didn't resonate with have never messaged me to be like, dude, your work sucks, right? Like, that's just not real. Like, people don't do that, and if they do, it's like, okay, well, then I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry you didn't like it. That kind of hurts my feelings that you said it in that way, but like in reality, it doesn't matter. Like, all of the people that love me still love me, right? Like, okay, I'm okay, and so it's like that, it's that fear of the nebulous that you don't really know, and then you dive in and you realize that it was just shadows in the closet. You flip the light on and there's nothing in there. And so this has been the journey, and that's the level of the game that I'm at. And I'm starting to play with like those bigger concepts. Like right now, what I've been focusing on a lot is like high performance will always pull you back to the weakest link in your chain. Right? Like if your weakest link in your chain is your physical systems, you're just not training enough or you're not training well enough, then like obviously you have to address that, because you're either going to get injured or you're just not going to be fit enough to compete, right? So it's like this forcing function that makes this happen. For me, I'm at this level of the game where the things that's holding me back is not my physical ability, and it's not my ability to like adhere to a training program. It's more like, can I trust myself? What does trust mean to me? And how, like, it's these deep set patterns that reference back to like experiences that I've had throughout my life, where I'm like, oh, okay, well, I need to learn how to trust myself in the last K of a steeple. Well, why can't I do that? Oh, it's because I don't feel like I've done enough. Okay, well, what would be enough? Like, I know that I've done enough. Why am I not believing it? Why am I in my way? And so it's like, that's the level of the game that I'm playing right now, and I'm hoping to be able to show up on the 21st for the prelim of the steeple and be like, all right, I know how to win this game. I've got the best odds. I'm gonna roll these dice and they're gonna come up my numbers. Like, that's where confidence has to come in and balance out those kinds of doubts.
Yeah, so that's really eloquently said. I mean, it's like self-belief and like I don't know, we call it here like momentum. We love to talk about momentum and stuff like that. And it sounds like, because momentum doesn't always need to be just drawn from a race. It can be drawn from a workout or like even just a mentality on the right day. And it sounds like at least for me, that you releasing, taking the risk and releasing that first book on poetry and then getting the feedback you received, did that help kind of build up your mentality of like even in your racing life or your personal life, like when that comes out and people respond well to it, like oh, like okay, things aren't always going to be as scary as they seem to be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a great example of this is I ran the Bryan Cave 5K this year, and I ended up running 13:19, and that was the mark that qualified me for the trials in the 5K. And I didn't have like a specific goal going into that race. Like, I knew that I was fit, and I wanted to run hard, and I wanted to like bet on myself. And I had a moment, and it was probably right around 3K, which is obviously where the steeple or the 5K starts to get like, okay, like, you gotta focus up, and like, you that it's all in that last 2K. And I had a moment where part of me was experiencing, oh my gosh, like, this is really starting to hurt, like this nebulous, like, in the same way that that fear of publishing the book, like, this was that nebulous, that fear of being able to maintain the effort. Like, if it's hurting this bad right now, I'm projecting into the future that how am I supposed to do this in a K? And if I can't do it in a K, I can't do it for 2K, obviously, right? And so I had this moment where I connected with like the future version of me that was going to be running that, and I was like, bro, trust me. Like, just let me do this. Like, put me in a position and let me figure it out. Like, just trust me to do this. And that was huge for me, because I got to the front of the pack that I was in, and I just started squeezing. And that, I like, kept me and the group that I was with on pace. It's like, all right, let's go. And then at the end of the race, I was able to find something in that last K. There's always something, like, it's very rare that we like fully blow up to the level that, like, we're closing out our race, and we packed on 20 seconds per lap. And, like, that kind of blow up is super rare, because we oftentimes don't mentally allow ourselves to get to that threshold where we're going to blow up that bad. Most of the time, it's like we shut down to protect ourselves from that fear. And so this experience that I had was kind of like that connecting bridge that allowed me to like push out into uncertainty and recognize that I was going to be okay regardless. And one of the things that's been super helpful with that kind of stuff for me is one thing that I was, it's kind of drilled into me from my college coach, Steve Magnus, at the University of Houston, is like zooming in and out, right? So it's like you zoom in and you're thinking about something as small as like the position of my hips. Like, are my hips neutral? Like, those biomechanic things. But then you like zoom out far enough and you get to a place where it's like, why am I doing this? And being able to connect to that why is super powerful. But part of the other side of that coin is like, well, this is a small moment within my life. I may have imbued it with a lot of mental and emotional energy because it's something that's important to me, but all that's telling me is that I care about it. It doesn't tell me that I'm gonna die, even if we think that it's like this massive thing that's happening and it's scary in that moment of like, how am I supposed to figure out this last K? This could be the end of the world. It's like, really, it's not gonna be. Like, you're gonna finish the race whether you do great or you do awful. It's going to be all right, because at the end of the day, this is just one thing, and you are much bigger than this one thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And like something that I'll tell myself after I have a bad race is like, thank God that he did not make me a runner because like, I mean, we run, but we're not actually runners. We're, humans that, have a lot of, faults and, make a lot of mistakes. So I don't know. I think that that's something that's really cool that, you figured out. And you did mention your college coach, and that's something that we kind of wanted to talk about because you went to Houston I ran over there. You were like, I believe it was, you were the first cross country athlete to have qualified three separate times for cross nationals. So like for Houston at least. So you know, how did like you know why was a Houston like you know the choice that you chose, and you know like how did that you know affect your running career?
I mean, it's hard to say on this side of the experience just how it impacted me because I am who I am because of the experience I had at Houston. Like I would not have this career without who I like. It's a transformative experience, and by definition, I'm not the same person afterwards as I was before. And so I'm like internally grateful for it. The whole reason I went to U of H was for Steve. Like it was a bit of a gamble because he wasn't an established college coach, but you know, I from the interactions I'd had with him, I trusted him and I thought that like, you know, I was going to be coming in with this good group of freshmen and we were going to be able to build something there. And you know, it was wonderful for me. He was careful enough with me to where I didn't break, and he was able to push me enough to where I got better. And that was like, that's what you want in a coach. You know, like I think there were some things that like he probably could have pushed me a little bit harder. But I'm so grateful for it because I was able to come out of the other side of that college experience and you know, still love running. You know, I think that was one thing that he was always very conscious of because he knew what running could be. And he showed me that running could be something that was larger than just this egoic pursuit of, you know, self-aggrandizement through marks. You know, it's like at the end of the day, nobody really cares outside of the people that understand what this is. You know, it's like your running career. This is actually something that's like that Noah Droddy, one of my current teammates, has talked a lot about. It's like your running career really only means something to you. And like that's a beautiful thing. Even the people that like are close to you and are invested in you and like care about you, and even the people that follow you, like they're like, oh, nice. But really, like it doesn't have the same weight as it does to you. It's your journey, and so you have to take ownership of it. And that time at Houston was something that really allowed me to grow into a person that I wanted to be and get space from, you know, who I had been in high school. Because in high school, I was very much like, oh, this is the only thing I care about, and like that's fine. You know, if that's the place that you occupy in the sport, sure, go for it. Full steam ahead, but I wasn't making the choice to do that. That was just my default setting. And so once I realized, like, oh, this could be more than that for me, doors opened up. And I don't think that I would have the professional career that I have had and like all of the things that I've been able to accomplish and the people I've been able to meet. And my life as it is now is shaped 100% by running and the experiences I've had there. And that's not to mean that it's like completely contained within running, but like, I live in Boulder because I moved out here to run. Like I met my partner through running. Like we're, you know, the whole entirety of it, like you guys know what this feels like. You run in college. You've made these decisions that are, you know, based on running and how everything that you're surrounded by now is influenced by that experience.
Yeah, I like that you. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say I like that you specified that at the end that like, yeah, my life is determined by running, but it's not my whole life. Like, yeah, that was that was good because it is like, yeah, like obviously you do so many things because of running. Like, obviously the place you went to school and like, yeah, as you just said how you met your partner and what your career is, but and that's so interesting. But like, it's such a big part of your life, but it's also so important not to let it overtake your life because all of a sudden then it becomes a bad thing. And it seems like you learned a lot of those lessons at Houston under your coach. And so obviously you are a coach, and you coach people. So is that kind of why you got into coaching to try and share this philosophy? And you know, is that kind of the same thing you're preaching to the kids you're working with or the people you're working with?
Yeah, definitely. I think my whole coaching experience has been based around like trying to find other avenues to further my life mission. You know, I want people to be able to feel like they're in control of their lives and they have the agency to show up however they want. And running is a great medium for people to do that. I love being able to impact people's relationship with running and make sure that they maintain healthy relationships because it's, you know, it's really easy, especially if you're a person who is motivated by trying to perform at your best. It's easy to lose sight of the initial thing. So it's like whenever I have intake meetings with my clients, like the first thing that I ask is like, Running is a painful and not very glamorous thing. Like, why do you keep coming back to it? What matters to you about this? Like, what is this for you? And one of the things that I always put in there is like the default answer for people is like, oh, I just love it. It's like, what does that mean? You know, like, why do you love it? What's underneath of that? And like, can you drill down to a point where you actually understand like what this thing is for you? And if so, can you keep that at the forefront of everything that you're doing? Because it's really easy to lose sight of that. And, you know, if you're trying to pursue high performance, running should be a fun thing. You know, it should be something that adds to your life and doesn't take away from it, right? At the very least, like that's the one benchmark. And that's one thing that I'll always add for my clients because they never get to that point of like, you know, running is a thing that adds to my life and never takes away. It's like, okay, let's put that in there, you know, because it's so important to recognize that your relationship to this thing will change. But if you're always keeping it as something that is an additive to your life rather than taking away, then you can you're on positive fuel and you're not gonna like burnout is much harder to get to if you're at that place, which I am always very wary of burnout for the people that I coach. And I'm generally probably a bit more conservative with them than they would like at a lot of times because it's like I think that as a coach, I've got the 1,000-yard view and I want to like pull on the reins a little bit more because I don't want them to get hurt or to experience burnout because in this sport, the biggest thing is consistency. And a lot of people pay lip service to that without a full understanding of the ramifications of actually committing yourself to consistency. Because if you're actually committing yourself to consistency, then you recognize the value of rest. And then you recognize the value of like maybe consistency for you to make sure that you have a lifelong journey in this sport rather than just a season's long journey in this sport is making sure that you take time off and taking space away from the sport and having, you know, a fully rugged and flexible identity that allows you to navigate the pitfalls of the sport and the highs and the lows without, you know, tearing yourself to pieces over it. So I love coaching. And a lot of the people that I coach are, you know, they're people that are not necessarily high performing athletes. You know, they have their own goals. And that's one of the things that I love about it. It's like so refreshing to me because the world that we inhabit as people that are pursuing high performance, especially like for me, being in that group of people that's competing at Olympic trials, like, man, I'm so zoomed in on this thing all the time. And that's like super exhausting. And you can beat yourself up about it. It's like, man, I haven't won a race except for one in my entire professional career. It's like, well, I'm also competing against a lot of the best people to ever do this sport. So it's like, maybe I should zoom out a little bit and get a little bit of perspective and being able to interact with people that are, you know, pursuing their own goals of like, yeah, I just want to run my first marathon, and that's all I really want. And I don't really care how fast I do it. I just want to make sure that I get it done. It's like, let's do that. Let's go. Let's put everything we can. Let me take everything that I know about the sport and help you do that. Let's go.
That is awesome. And yeah, I'm sure that it is it's a nice perspective to see, especially like as you know, going from a professional level to someone that's just just now getting into running is like that is something that it helps put perspective in the sport. And I want to say like because we are about to run out of time, but I guess we can shoot one more question that you ask your athletes why do you love to run?
Yeah, it's changed for me a lot over the years. Obviously, like my journey, I started forever ago. Like my running career is old enough to legally drink, you know. So it's like I've been in this for long enough to where I've experienced it as something that is purely egoic, is the only source of my identity, is something that, you know, gave me a social network, something that gave me stability and all of those kinds of things. And the way that I think about running now and what it means to me is it's an arena in which I can test myself and I can test others. And the test is mostly based around how much can you embody your values? Like you say you're about it. Let's see it. You know, and so this is kind of like in service of creating a better social reality for myself and my communities. Because if I'm actually about my values and I can show up on the day in a race, then I can show up as I'm living my life, right? And if my value is authenticity, then people get this side of me and they always get to see this. And if I can do this, then it bleeds through to my communities. And if my entire community can do this, then it can bleed through to the larger world. And that's what I'm about.
That's a really good answer. It's a unique answer because like I don't know, normally when you ask people why they love running, it's I don't know, like, because we've talked a lot about trying to be specific today, and that was a great example of an answer like that. Because yeah, why do you love running? I don't know. It's like working hard. I feel good. I like stuff like that. So yeah, I think that's a great answer.
We
Really unique
appreciate that
answer.
answer.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I think this is a good opportunity to wrap it up. So
Wait, one
oh, go
more
ahead.
very small question. What is your current favorite song right now?
Oh, Too Sweet by Hozier.
Great
Okay,
song.
sweet. Oh, I like it. I like it.
Sweet. All right, there you go. All right. Well, yeah, this is a good place to wrap up. So, Brian, yeah, we've had a great time on this. We really hope you have too. But
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. Thank you guys. Really appreciate your time and energy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
Awesome. Yeah.
same to you. Yeah.
Of course. And we're wishing you luck in the trials coming soon. We'll be watching. And so yeah, we're really looking forward to it and wish you the best of luck. So anyway, everyone, thank you for listening to another episode of the Run Happy Podcast. It's been a few week break, but we're back now and hopefully get a little bit more consistency.
Get the
So
momentum going.
exactly. Great first one to come back with. So Brian Barraza from Roots Running, thank you so much, and we will catch everyone next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll catch you all next week.